Our State Capitol Report continues in this half hour with more discussion of Republican Party politics in Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, May 5th. We'll talk about the direction of the state's GOP and what was accomplished at the Republican State Convention over the weekend with Brian Schimming, who is vice chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. And we will welcome your questions and your reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Brian Schimming, vice chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you.
We just heard from our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, who covered part of the Republican convention this week and about what he thought made news. What do you think is the headline from the convention from the past weekend?
Well, a couple of things. Of course, this is that we endorsed. The Republican Party of Wisconsin endorses candidates, and we endorsed in the governor's race, of course, Governor Walker and Lieutenant Governor Clayfish as a ticket. Really, his message was about moving the state forward, not backward. And so that was really a dominant message of his, of the Lieutenant Governor, and really the whole convention. Is the state going to go forward or backward? So certainly that we had resolutions debate on a number of resolutions. We heard from other candidates as well and other office holders. It was Congressman Petrie's last Republican convention as a member of Congress, the Attorney General candidate as well. So it was, to be honest with you, it was a good chance for folks who were out in the grassroots to see all of our candidates on stage and get a chance to talk to them. Most of them were there all weekend.
Yeah. So it was a successful convention?
Yeah, it was. It was. You know, we're in Milwaukee this year. We're in La Crosse next year. And we had about 1,200 or so, a little bit over, I think. There was a lot of energy there. I thought I got down there Friday morning to do a panel and a lot of energy in the room, I thought. And look, let's face it. And I think both sides would say this. The state's been through a lot in the last 4 years between, the 2010 elections and then the recalls and everything that's gone on in the legislature. So been through a lot. Good opportunity for us to get together and get ready for what's to come this year.
Well, the resolution that would have, I guess, allowed Wisconsin to secede got a lot of attention heading into the convention, or Wisconsin saying we have the right to do this under extreme circumstances. Sean told us that that was taken up right away and defeated right away.
It was defeated right away. Some good floor debate. Our rules, you can have 20 minutes of debate on each resolution. And that one got, pretty fair debate, but it was rejected overwhelmingly. The numbers were pretty lopsided. I kind of felt that way going into convention, that's where it was going, but I was presiding over most of the convention. So we let everybody talk, and there was good debate and debate on amendments and things like that. But it really was over. Secession was overwhelmingly rejected, as were some other ones that I think created maybe more heat than light.
Yeah, well, did that resolution, even being there, do damage to the reputation of the Republican Party of Wisconsin?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, I said to somebody asked me about that, what was it, Saturday or Saturday afternoon or whenever it was, and I said, look, Governor Walker has spent the last 4 years talking about moving Wisconsin forward, growing jobs, cutting taxes, all the things we want to do to make a better state. And so if we have a couple of hours of debate or controversy over one or two resolutions, when the truth of the matter is the theme for the convention was about jobs and cutting taxes, and going forward the next 6 months to the election is all about that, I don't think a little debate over one resolution or two or three or for that matter is going to send anything into the ditch.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, there was more debate over other resolutions too, like this one over nullifying Obamacare. What happened there?
Yeah, the Obamacare resolution, what's interesting is that folks, there's obviously a lot of opposition to Obamacare and tremendous opposition over Obamacare. And I think that's going to be an issue. We debated that as well. There's going to be a lot of debate on that issue nationally, particularly. We'll probably see less of it, I suppose, in the governor's race. But I think candidates for federal office in all of the states are going to have to deal with the Obamacare issue. Even most of the polling that I've seen, not all of it, but pretty much all of it. Obamacare still unpopular in Wisconsin, overall unpopular in Wisconsin. And you see Democrat congressional candidates running away from Obamacare for the most part for good reason. When it's upside down in Wisconsin, it's got a problem.
Yeah, but that was defeated too.
Right, correct.
Yeah. So. And then another one that we talked a little bit about in our previous half hour. Why did some Republicans want to condemn two fellow lawmakers, Luther Olson and Steve Castell?
Well, we did pass a resolution opposing Common Core, and of course there's been a lot of controversy and talk about Common Core, not only in Wisconsin, but around the country. There's actually a lot of action around the country, so this isn't just a Wisconsin issue. And so the delegates took a very strong stand, you know, that we need to take a second look, if not a hard look, at Common Core. But there was a resolution about, condemning Senator Olson and Representative Castell, and both longtime members of the legislature, and the overwhelmingly, and I mean by a huge margin, delegates decided, you know, we shouldn't be criticizing our own elected officials. Let's train our fire on the Democrats, and so that's what we spent our time doing.
But all of these resolutions, the condemnation of other Republicans, the nullification of Obamacare, the secession resolution, while all defeated at the convention, does this show that there is a struggle in the Republican Party with even more conservative Republicans trying to exert power?
Well, I always tell folks, look, it's a big party, and we have a lot of folks, everything from moderates to very, very conservative types in the party, and I'm a conservative. But, you know, we have those internal discussions, and that's where you have them at conventions. We also talked about, people concerned about being the NSA and snooping in on people's lives. We talked about cutting taxes, increasing jobs, limiting the income tax on pensions. We talked about a lot of things. So for me, I like that internal discussion. And my gosh, if Mike Tatel allow me to hold him to all the resolutions that they pass at Democratic Party conventions, I'm going to have a lot of fun on the next show.
if these resolutions are a part of the Republican Party platform now?
Yeah, it's their resolutions. We do a platform separately, and that's kind of a more permanent, longstanding what the party's about. And resolutions tend to be more, reactive to what's going on at the time, certain particular issues that are going on at the time, and we saw that with Common Core.
Yeah. Well, Brian, what about, though, you heard from Tom Petri, who is not going to run for re-election. He is being primaried. Or was going to be primaried before he made his decision by Glenn Grothman, and we've seen talk anyway about whether or not there's room for moderates in the Republican Party of Wisconsin, for that matter of America. But what about that? Can you be a moderate and be a Republican in Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah, there's lots of them. I know hundreds of them across the state. So, sure, there's a ton of moderates in the party. And I'm a conservative, but I'm about being a majority party, and I'm about building a majority party. And as Congressman Petri, I was on stage when he was speaking just a couple feet from him, and he said, and I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, but he said something about, we're not a libertarian party or a moderate party or this party or that party, we're the Republican Party. And I thought that was a good way to put it. The party embraces folks of all walks of life and all streams and all political, and that's what it's about. I mean, that's what I want it to be about. I've recruited, as you know, I've spent a lot of time recruiting candidates for the legislature and traveling the state. And for me, I want folks to feel welcome into the party, and they are. You go to meetings around the state and at this convention as well. We have all kinds, and that's the way I like it.
Did the party endorse one of the candidates running for Congressman Pete Frye's office?
They did not. WisPolitics did a poll of the convention delegates separately out in the hallway, and I think Senator Grossman won that poll. And, of course, you have other strong candidates there as well, Senator Liebum and Representative Dewey Strobel and other folks. But it wasn't the big talk of the convention, but you know, that's we don't come up with open seats too often here in Wisconsin, so that'll be a primary fight up there between those three, and who knows, maybe others will jump in before it's all over.
You did officially endorse the Republican challenging Secretary of State Doug La Follette?
Correct. We have some good primary candidates there. They ended up, as I mentioned before, you need a 60% supermajority on the convention floor to get the endorsement. And, of course, the governor and lieutenant governor were unanimous for good reason. We didn't endorse in the treasurer's race. That
did
was
not.
Kind of close, yeah, between Scott Felt and Matt Adamczyk. Julian Bradley ended up winning the endorsement for Secretary of State, and I'm excited about our ticket. I'll tell you, we got people really running for these offices for state treasurer and Secretary of States, and, you know, some of the races we don't talk about that much, but we've got candidates running up and down the state running for these offices, and I think that helps the ticket. I'm glad, even though they may not be high profile races, for me, from where I am as state party vice chair, and I, you know, when I go out and travel the state and I see these people out speaking at rallies and out going to local victory centers where we have people volunteering that and getting the troops going, I'm all about that. Works for me.
We're talking with Brian Schimming, Vice Chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, about what happened and what didn't happen at the Republican Party of Wisconsin's convention this weekend. And we welcome your reactions, your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. By the way, we will be doing a similar state capitol report following the Democratic Party of Wisconsin's convention, which is going to be June 6th and 7th in Wisconsin Dells. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our state capitol report continues, talking with Brian Schimming, who is the vice chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, talking about this weekend's annual GOP convention and discussing the state of Republican Party politics in Wisconsin. Welcoming your questions and feedback for Brian at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, one thing we didn't talk about was not a Republican making news, so to speak, but a Democrat, Democratic State Representative Brett Halsey, who says he wants to run for governor as a Democrat, was at the GOP convention. He said he was going to be distributing KKK hoods, but it turns out he didn't do that. What was your reaction to him showing up dressed as a Confederate officer, complaining about what he views as racist policies of the GOP?
Well, it was reprehensible. I know some folks who were delegates. I know at least a couple. Pam Stevens, African-American from Kenosha, used to be on the Kenosha School Board as one of her delegates. She went out and I think mixed it up with them a little bit out front. Look, on one hand, I say it's reprehensible. On the other hand, I say you ought to be boycotting his own convention because the truth of the matter is, if you're an African-American child in the inner city of Milwaukee, the Democrats in the legislature have been spending their time, including Brett, trying to kill school choice in Milwaukee and give options for children in Milwaukee. And I used to have an office in downtown Milwaukee. I was the head of the State Division of Housing and worked a lot of those neighborhoods. And giving one of the best things we can do for the African-American and for the low-income community in the cities is give them options for education. It's the Democratic Party in Wisconsin and in the legislature who's done everything they can do to kill school choice and to give options to children who are trapped in that very, very troubled school district. So had I gotten a chance to go out and see Brett, which I didn't, I intended to, but I just didn't get out there. But I would have told him he's to show up in that outfit in the Dells when they're up in the Dells.
Well, of course, Brett might have told you, or other Democrats might have said, school choice isn't working, Brian. Tests show their kids going to voucher schools are not doing as well, or at least they're not doing better than the public school kids. What do you say to that?
Well, first of all, I take some issue with some of those tests and with some of those studies. But even without that, that school district, the Milwaukee school district, is so troubled there, and I've been in those schools, is so troubled. And just from a safety aspect, if not because you can't expect children to learn in that kind of environment, I don't care if it's in Milwaukee or Madison or Green Bay or Eau Claire or anywhere else. So I think giving parents, not people with money, because people with money can take their kids out of schools and put them into other school districts. It's low-income folks and people who, frankly, don't have options to get their children out of troubled school districts in troubled downtowns. We should give them a choice. So I'll tell Brett, when I see Brett, I'll tell him to take that message to his own convention.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about photo ID or voter ID. Looks like we are not going to have to show a photo ID when we vote in November. Might not be have to do that. A federal judge struck down the Wisconsin voter ID law last week. Governor Walker said he won't call a special session of the legislature to try to craft a new one to be in place for November, and says the best way forward is through the court appeals process. I guess, do you agree with that?
It may well end up being the case. I mean, we're sitting here now. I mean, I believe in voter ID. 70% of the voters in the state believe in voter ID, if not a little bit higher than that. But the truth of the matter is we're maybe just practical and legal, and that is we're sitting here now, what, in May, in early May, and the election is off in November, and if another, you know, the legislature could pass another bill, and I'm sure it would probably immediately get taken to court and we'd start that again. So I presume what the thought is here, and I've not talked to those folks, is that better off to have the legal fight on the bill that they have in front of them. The Attorney General, J.B. Van Hollen, very confident of that bill's constitutionality, as is the governor. So I presume the approach here will be to focus on that, since there'll be a legal battle either way.
Yeah. What's your reaction, Brian, to Judge Adelman saying that voter fraud, at least voter impersonation is not a problem in Wisconsin, and that this law only serves to suppress voters when there isn't a problem that it's solving?
Well, I thoroughly reject that argument on two levels. Number one, the legislature went out of its way, plus some, to provide options for voter ID and to pay for IDs for anybody that couldn't afford them. So I think it's, frankly, a little bit of a red herring to say that you know, it suppresses anyone. But secondly, in having done work on recounts in this state and done a lot of election-related work, and we've seen the prosecutions that were you know, by the Attorney General and the Democrat District Attorney in Milwaukee, so there are examples out there. And frankly, I believe there's a lot more, but we don't have a system. Wisconsin's elections law, I mean, we really don't have a statewide voter list. I mean, whereas in most states, the Secretary of State's office or a statewide authority maintains a statewide voter list and they use it. This is largely up to the counties and the cities and the towns. And it's so, I don't want to say loose, but it's in such shape in a way that it invites that type of horseplay in elections. And to me, and I've seen a lot of elections over the years that were decided by a couple of votes, and so I think that's important. We ought to do, the voters in the state deserve having us, and support, I might add, overwhelmingly, having a system of voter ID. But we just gotta get through the legal hurdles.
Let's take a call from Charles in Milwaukee. Hello, Charles.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Joy. I was just wondering if Brian could comment on the GOP that people seem to enjoy because of the conservative economic policies, but then get turned off by some of the conservative, per se, social issues, such as gay marriage. It seems that the GOP could just be more in tune with the lives of people other than the economics, and they would do just fine.
Well, I'll say this to you, and there are a lot of different there's a lot of different views inside the party as well, and we pass some platform language on this, of course. But there are a lot of views inside the party as well, you know, within the Republican Party. What I say to folks, and I believe in a welcoming party. So what I say to people is that the governor, was particularly with respect to Governor Walker, his focus, his message is about growing jobs and cutting taxes and making sure Wisconsin's open for business. Because the reality is, if you have a good economic climate, which is what people really is kind of a first issue for most folks. If you look at where their priorities are on most of their issues, a lot of them are economic, pocketbook, all of that. And so that's where the governor spends his time talking about. And right now, with the shape that the Obama administration is polling wise and all these other issues, I'd much rather be where we are right now than be where the Democrats are.
Speaking of polling, the last major poll to come out was from the Democratic-leaning public policy polling group, which had Governor Walker up by 3 percentage points over Mary Burke. Last time we talked, Brian, the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert poll had the governor with a double-digit lead. What's your assessment of where the race is right now?
Well, I've always said, based on what I've seen internally and what I see from other polling, I never kind of put too much on one poll. You know, you'll have a poll that come out, shows you way ahead, and you'll go, wow, we have this great poll, and then another one will be close. So I always kind of look for trends and where things are rather than base too much on one poll. And the trends have been good for the governor. You know, we've been up 7, 8, 9 points generally, sometimes a little below, sometimes a little above. But the trend line has been pretty good. It's been pretty stable. And which is, you know, what's interesting is the Democrats on the other side will say, oh, we've been through all this in the last 4 years in a recall election. But the truth of the matter is the governor got elected. He had been a Republican county executive in a very Democrat county, survived the recall after everything that they threw at him. I think the voters in this state, for the most part, pretty much know what they like about Scott Walker.
And we'll leave it there for now. Thank you very much for being here.
So good to see you.
Brian Schimming, Vice Chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Robin Cherry and to Cynthia Schuster for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. It's Mondays with Mike coming up after we check the latest news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.